Welcome to the Fit Life with MJ podcast, where you'll learn how to become the most unstoppable, healthy, fit, and confident version of yourself your way. Listen in as I drop weekly real and raw solo episodes and interviews with industry professionals covering all things fitness, mindset, and personal development to inspire and teach you how to get results and level up on your terms. I'm your host, MJ, certified personal trainer, nutrition, mindset, and personal development coach. I cannot wait to share today's episode with you. So let's get into it. Welcome back to another episode of the Fit Life with MJ podcast. I'm coming at you with a solo episode today, fam, and this one is going to be pretty spicy for my girls here who are struggling to lose weight, whether you are going it alone and using something like MyFitnessPal or a similar app, or you've purchased a diet plan or a meal plan, or you're working with a coach and you're just not seeing the results that you expected, or you're not seeing results at all. So in today's episode, we're going to talk about some diet mistakes you could be making, particularly to do with your calorie intake, that would be holding you back, that you might not have realized you're accidentally doing wrong. Therefore, you'd be putting all this effort in thinking, yes, I'm going to get these amazing results, not seeing those results and then getting super confused, frustrated, or starting to think that there's something wrong with your body. And then there's the whole, we don't see the results we want, we lose motivation, we start to get off track, and then we think we have no willpower. So if anything I've just said then is resonating for you, then this episode is for you. So stay tuned. Grab a pen and paper if you're one who likes to take notes, because this one could be a game changer for you, actually. As you guys know, I love to bring topics to you in my content that are topics I tend to be having a lot more conversations around at the particular time. So if I find that, you know, there's a particular topic I'm speaking to more with my followers or even my FitFam girls, I like to then bring that out to my content, like my podcast or my social media, because I therefore know it's obviously a subject that a lot of you would be struggling with. And I like to use that as inspo for what I know is going to help you girls and be most valuable. So this is something I'm finding I'm talking a lot to at the moment with a few girls who have been reaching out to me about their weight loss struggles recently, and a couple of my FitFam girls who have just been getting started, because these are really common mistakes. The mistakes I'm going to talk about today are very, very easy to make. So if you are doing any of these things incorrectly, I don't want you to feel bad. It's not because you're silly or you just don't know what you're doing. It's just honestly, you don't know you're making these mistakes until it's too late, because you can't tell until you haven't got the results from the efforts you've put in, and then you start to look into why that might be, and then you could maybe find out that you've been doing these things wrong. But if you are sitting here listening to this and thinking, yep, I'm doing something that should be getting me weight loss results and I'm not seeing those results, this episode could bring to light some things that you could be accidentally doing wrong. So let's dive into it. I'm going to basically break it down into three different parts. So we're going to look at, if you're using MyFitnessPal or a similar app, what you could be accidentally getting wrong in doing that. Then we're going to look at how you could accidentally be misconsuming your calories in your foods, because the calories in the foods could be mislabeled. And then we're going to talk about accidentally not being in a calorie deficit as well. So let's dive in. MyFitnessPal, firstly, there's two parts to this one. MyFitnessPal can be a little bit of a minefield. I'm going to use MyFitnessPal as my main example for this one because it's the most popular that leaves you to do your own calculations. Now, if you're using the version of MyFitnessPal that calculates how many calories you should be eating, this can be your first hurdle and the first mistake that you can make. And I'm seeing a lot of girls who are reaching out to me, or even there's a lot of like Facebook groups that I'm in to support a lot of the girls in there. They're making this mistake as well. And again, you don't know, because MyFitnessPal is a reputable company. We trust things like this, right? So if you go into MyFitnessPal and you create your account and it says to you, yep, you should be eating 1600 calories a day, then you're going to believe that, aren't you? You don't know what you're doing. That's why you're using MyFitnessPal. And so you're going to go and set yourself up to eat 1600 calories a day. But that calorie calculation could actually be wrong for you for a number of reasons. Firstly, I've seen this happen before. It just inherently can miscalculate. Like, it cannot be an exact science because it's an app that has no idea who you are. Like, it's taking a few metrics based off your weight, your height, your age, and your activity level, and it doesn't know anything else about you. So that in and of itself can accidentally cause you to get the wrong calorie amount prescribed to you by the app. But also, what if you accidentally put the wrong activity level in, or you misunderstood what it meant when it was asking you how active are you? And I've seen this happen before too. And you say you're not as active as you actually are, and so it gives you too many calories. I mean, not enough calories for your daily needs, and therefore you're not eating the right amount of calories. You get what I mean. Like, the app in and of itself can struggle to be accurate enough for you. And you could also accidentally have put the wrong data in, therefore getting the wrong result out in terms of how many calories you should be eating. So I've seen that happen before. So that's the first part of where it can bring you unstuck. The second part is what we see a lot with apps like MyFitnessPal is when you've got to enter the food in yourself, you're choosing from a huge database of foods that have been entered by other people. Now, I know they've cleaned this up a lot in recent times, but there are still quite a few foods in there where the amount of calories listed as being the amount of calories in the foods that you're choosing aren't exactly right. And there can be multiple different types of foods in there that you've got to choose, okay, which one's the correct one for the food I just ate. And then if you accidentally choose the wrong one there, then what you're calculating into the app that you've eaten versus what you've actually eaten can be very different. So let's say the app does correctly calculate your calories and you're supposed to be on 1600 and it's put you on 1600. Cool, that's all good. But then you're going through and choosing foods to calculate up your 1600 in the app, and you're choosing foods that have a different calorie count labeling in the app to what the actual food you ate had. You could easily be out by a couple of hundred calories a day without even realizing. And technically, if the app's doing its job properly, you should only be in a couple of hundred calorie deficit to see results, which will mean you're no longer in that deficit. Or you could be in a bigger deficit than you're supposed to be. And so if the actual food you're eating isn't the right amount of calories, it doesn't really matter what you choose in the app to calculate up to your 1600. That data isn't going to be what dictates your weight loss. It's going to be the actual calorie quantity, or the amount of calories that were in the actual foods that you ate. So that's the second thing. But then also on top of that, so off the back of, you know, the foods being hard to get the right calories into the app, if you're trying to track when you've eaten out, that can be a minefield in and of itself. And there's another reason that I'm going to explain later on why, again, that's a problem. But how can you be sure that the food that you choose that you've eaten out, because it's not every time that we eat out that we're eating a food that MyFitnessPal has in there. You might find something close to what you've eaten, but again, it could easily be a couple of hundred calories out off of what you actually ate. And so whatever you put in the app, not actually being what you consumed, your actual calorie intake could be off by enough to take you out of your deficit. So, you know, things like just eating out at restaurants that aren't listed in MyFitnessPal, even if they are listed, were the calories entered correctly, you know? So it really pays to be aware of these things. And this is why I see a lot of girls, they'll say, oh, I'm following MyFitnessPal. It's telling me to eat this many calories. I'm just not seeing results. And I can see that. I ask them their metrics, obviously, to see if the ballpark figure of calories they've been told to eat is right. And if it is, then I ask them how they're going about making sure that the foods they're eating are actually the right amount of calories off what they're putting in MyFitnessPal. And a lot of them can't answer that question because, again, like I said at the start, you're using the app because you don't know. A lot of people would not look at a banana and instantly know how many calories are in it based on the size of the banana. You know, you're not going to eat a banana in the morning and then at 6 o'clock at night go, oh, my banana was 80 grams. That's right. Like, you're just going to go, oh, I think it was a medium banana. You know, like, it probably wasn't. It was probably a large banana. Next minute, you're 50 calories out, if that makes sense. So being able to actually understand basically what the calorie content of the foods you're eating is, and making sure that you're actually eating the right amount of calories against what you're entering into the app. So being aware of that. So that's the first part, MyFitnessPal, making sure that if you are using MyFitnessPal or a similar app, that you're actually getting it right. There's a lot of other apps out there, I know, that you don't have to enter the food in yourself. Like, I think there's ones like Noom and stuff out there. I think they give you the meal plan to eat. Again, you've got to make sure that the foods you're purchasing to follow their meal plans are the right kinds of calories, the right, you know, calorie representation of the foods that are in the meal plans that are in the app that you're using. So yeah, but you can sort of piece together what I've just said and get what I mean by that. I won't go down that rabbit hole again. But then there's something else that I want to cover in terms of the actual calorie content of foods themselves, which can never be accurate. So not in the way that they're labeled in foods anyway. So like, I mean, you could take a banana, burn it down, find out, you know, what was the heat signature that came off the banana, and therefore you convert that into calories. That's how they work out what calories are. Calories are a measurement of energy. Energy is heat. And so to find out the calories in a food, they typically burn the food, measure the heat that came off it, convert that into calories, and that's how they know how many calories are in a given amount of any food. Again, if you think of foods where there's a lot of different ingredients in that food, like if you buy a packaged meal, for example, that's got sauce, pasta, meat, veggies in it, like a frozen lasagna or dinner or spaghetti bolognese or something, you've got to take into consideration when they put that meal together and then labeled it with the nutrition information on the front, they didn't take those ingredients and go and burn them and get the heat signature and then replicate that exact amount of grams of every ingredient into every container. They would have taken the nutrition information off each ingredient and the average guide of, you know, how many, if it was mixed, you know, carrot, peas and corn vegetables that were in the frozen meal, they're just taking the average how many calories are in 100 grams of mixed carrot, peas and corn. They're not going and actually finding the exact number themselves. They're taking it from generalized information. So again, you've got to remember there's a little bit of calorie leeway there. And then when it's packaged food where the company has obviously found out the calorie amount themselves. So for example, let's say you've got a tin of tuna and it's a 75 gram tin of tuna and it says there's about 80 calories in it. This is just an example. So years and years and years and years and years ago, somebody took 100 grams of tuna. They burnt it. This is just, you know, a generalization as well. But what they would have done is they would have at one point grabbed a certain amount of tuna, burnt it down to see how much energy came off of it, converted that into calories, and then now they use that as their calculation to go up or down the scale depending on how much tuna you're having to work out how many calories are then in that amount of tuna. That was done years and years and years ago, and then they now use that data to put on all of their labels. And you've got to take into consideration, you know, the protein density, the nutrient density of each part of every packaged food. When the actual calories were worked out years ago, the variance that could be in that now to date can go up and down a bit. So you can never be 100% sure that you're picking up a tin of tuna that says there's 80 calories in it, that dead on 80 calories is what's in that tin of tuna. Now, I don't want you to now freak out and be like, oh my God, my food's lying to me. I can never be right about my calories now. That's not true at all. It's just bringing to the forefront of your mind that trying to be meticulous with your calorie intake to the T is just not a realistic way to play the game. Once you work out roughly how many calories you should be eating and you've worked out what foods you're going to eat and meals you're going to make to get that calorie intake, you can just kind of work out, you know, like you're going to eat those quantities of those foods and you're going to start seeing the results and modifying your diet and your plan as you go. So yeah, you might be saying, oh, I'm on 1600 calories. And realistically, because of the calorie variance in foods, maybe you're eating 1700 calories, but you're getting the results, you know? So therefore, like you're just doing what you think is 1600, it's actually 1700, but you're still getting the result, if you know what I mean. And then you sort of can vary up or down your calculations, because then when you change your calculations and your actions to give you what you think is that calculation, your results are still going to change because the food intake is still going to change. I hope that makes sense. I really tried to articulate that in the best way. Please drop a comment in this episode if you want any more clarity on that, because it's kind of hard to explain without going down a deep rabbit hole. I don't want to talk myself around in circles, but basically just using the calorie amount that you need to be on as a guide, and just, yeah, like it doesn't have to be an exact science. If anything, it's better to not be eating dead on the exact amount of calories, same amount of calories every day anyway, because you want to give your body a little bit of up and down, a little bit, a tiny little bit of variance and swing. You know, you don't want to get so regimented, because metabolic adaptation and things like that. So yeah. And then something else I really want to touch on, and I see this a lot. I get this question, or I get this statement from a lot of girls actually, is they'll come to me in the DMs or comment on something or jumping on my live videos, and they're confused as to why they're not losing weight, even though they're eating, and I'm in air quotations here, healthily. So they'll say, oh, but I've cut the junk. I'm not eating the junk food anymore. I'm not eating any unhealthy foods. I've really cleaned up my diet. I'm eating so healthily. Now, there's two parts to this, two different variations of this I see a lot. Now, tell me if you resonate with this, then you'll understand. And I'm about to tell you, it's going to bring to light for you how to actually fix this for yourself as well. On the one hand, yes, they're eating healthily, but they're still not actually in a calorie deficit. So just because you're eating healthy foods and you've dropped the unhealthy foods, which I don't, if you do enjoy those unhealthy foods, I don't recommend dropping them. I recommend balancing them in, which is one of the biggest things I teach my girls how to do. But you, if you're not in a calorie deficit, you won't be able to lose weight. It's highly possible to be eating 100% nutrient dense whole foods that have never been in a processing factory or anything at all and still not be in a calorie deficit. And therefore, you won't lose weight no matter how healthy your diet is. I'm not saying go eat junk food as long as you're in a calorie deficit, because we all know that the quality of the nutrients you eat is one of the most important things, so that your body gets everything it needs to have a healthy, thriving metabolism, among other things, to burn fat more efficiently. But at the end of the day, you can be eating 100% healthy foods and still not be in a calorie deficit, and it won't get you results. Now, on the other hand, you could be in a calorie deficit, and I see a lot of girls do this as well. They don't actually understand, and that, or they don't think about this as a macro issue, like a whole, an issue in the whole, is they will be eating healthily and in a deficit. And for the most part, a lot of them are actually restricting themselves and holding back from eating foods I actually enjoy. So they'll be craving something like pizza or chocolate or ice cream, and they're like holding out, like, I'm not touching, I'm being healthy, I'm in a deficit. And they'll eat all healthy foods in a deficit Monday to Friday, and then the wheels fall off at the weekend. Now, hands up if that is you, because I've got my hand as high as it goes. That used to be me as well, and that was my undoing. So what can happen there is you'll be in a deficit all week. Yeah, you're eating healthy foods. Amazing. Big tick. The problem is then you're getting to the weekend. You're so burnt out from all of the restriction you've done. You're going to parties. You've got stuff on. The last thing you want to do is count your calories over the weekend. The wheels come off. You overindulge. Before you know it, you're no longer in a calorie deficit for that week, because you've just eaten your daily calorie needs plus your weekly deficit of calories back on in a day or two. So now as a whole, over the course of that whole week, you've just brought yourself out of a deficit, which means you're not going to lose weight for that week. So this is something I see a lot. And because we don't realize how easy it can be to eat those calories back on, and we think that being in a big enough deficit throughout the week will help us stay in a deficit, and we can overindulge on weekends and still be in a deficit. And I can tell you right now from personal experience, it doesn't work that way, because what happens is you're basically starving yourself throughout the week. You've got to be in like a 500 calorie deficit a day just to eat enough in a deficit, to make up enough of a deficit by the weekend that you can actually consume 3,000 to 5,000 calories, which is so easy to do over the top on a weekend. And I used to do this all the time. And your metabolism will adapt. So throughout the week, it's going to slow down. It's going to start burning energy more. It's going to start burning fat more slowly because it wants to hold on to that stuff because it's getting a massive deficit of energy coming in, and your body just starts getting really efficient at saving its energy, which is body fat. So it's going to slow that process down. And then over the weekend, you binge it all the calories back on, and you bring yourself out the deficit. And also your body then hoards that fat, because it knows that in a couple of days' time, it's not going to get anywhere near as much energy for a good 5 days. Like, our metabolisms really do adapt that quickly. So, yeah, it's very easy to think, oh, I'm eating healthy, I dropped the unhealthy food, but are you actually in a deficit? It really pays to make sure of that. And are you in the right deficit? 200 to 300 calories a day, guys, 200 to 300 calories a day. And don't overindulge in your, you know, balance meals or snacks while you're still trying to lose weight, because you're just going to pull yourself out of that deficit. Yeah, so that's that section. And then the third thing I wanted to cover, is that three? That might be four. One, two, three. Yeah, four. I've got my notes in front of me here so I can keep track of what I'm trying to talk about. The final thing I wanted to talk about, and this one is fun. This is a good one. I see a lot of girls, I guess, I think it's mostly in the Facebook groups and things like that. And a lot of girls who do come to me saying that they're on a program, and they're just not seeing results. And without diving into their day-to-day life, there have been quite a few occasions where I've uncovered that they'll say to me something like, oh, I'm following this program, I'm just not seeing results, it's not working. And my first instinct is to say, well, are you actually getting the meal plans right? Are you following the meal plans? You know, there's been a few times where I've had this chat with some girls and they haven't been following the meal plan in a program that they've started with the intention to lose weight. So they've been given a meal plan and a workout program. They might be doing the workouts. Usually they are, if they're struggling with what we're talking about now. And they're not actually following the meal plan. So they haven't changed their eating habits, but they're on the program, I say in air quotation marks. So they've, air quotes, started a program. So the timeline of them being on this program has begun, but they didn't change their eating habits. They just kept eating as they had been before they started the program, which is the eating habits that got them to the place that they were unhappy with their health, but they continued those eating habits on. And then simply just because they, air quotes, started the program, they assumed they should be getting results, even though their actual actions didn't change. And this is the thing, your diet plays the most important part in the results your body gives you, because you are what you eat. Like, you cannot out-train a bad diet, especially if you have been exercising. So this is really common. Girls will be, you know, they exercise, they go to the gym. That's not a problem. They're not worried about their exercise, but food is their downfall. So they've already been exercising regularly, and then they start a weight loss program that has workouts in it, and they keep exercising basically with the same intensity that they had been. Even if the workouts change, the intensity and the physical energy output is the same over the course of a week. That hasn't changed. They got given a meal plan, but they didn't follow it. They kept up with their old eating habits. And then they wondered why they didn't lose weight. Just because there was a program there, they thought they should be getting results, but they haven't actually changed their actions. So this will be a big thing that'll bring you unstuck as well. So if you are on a program and you're not seeing results, the first thing I recommend is reaching out to your coach. Reach out to your coach and tell them what's going on, because if they're a good coach, they will ask you questions to work out if you are actually doing things properly with your eating and your exercise. But do not just suffer in silence. And this is why I say to these girls, because I don't just want to instantly see someone come to me and say, I'm following this program and it's not working, and just go, oh, cool, they want to jump over and come onto my program. Cool, I'm just going to tell them to cancel with that coach and come over to me. Like, I'm not about that. I want to make sure that they're actually following it properly first. And so, yeah, I recommend. And if you are a Fit Fam girl chilling in the background there who hasn't really been, you know, in the VIP chat group or messaging much to check in with me, because in those cases, I'm assuming you're ticking along quite well, unless I know more about you. And we've got like had a longer background relationship. But, you know, if you're struggling with the not seeing the results you expected from your program, reach out to the coach. Reach out to the coach and talk. Like, a good coach will ask you questions to work out what could be accidentally going wrong. That's the first thing I would do. The very first thing I would do is ask, you know, how are the workouts going? How's the meal plan going? What's been happening in your day-to-day life that could be holding you back? We'll have a chat and we'll talk about what it is that could be holding you back. Don't ever just struggle to see results on a program and just assume that it doesn't work without speaking to the coach to get a bit of help first. And then if the coach dismisses you, then maybe go somewhere else, obviously, if the coach is not being supportive. But yeah, that's just one of the big things I do see is they a lot of girls will just accidentally fall into this mindset trap of being like, oh, I started this program, but didn't actually change their actions. And then they're like, oh, this program doesn't work. I didn't get results, but they didn't actually do what the program said to do. And they just kept their old habits up. So therefore, you're not going to get change because if nothing changes, nothing changes. So I hope this has all made sense. I think I've talked about everything I wanted to in relation to this topic, but if you've got any questions off the back of this whatsoever, just please drop them in the comments in this podcast episode. Or if you've got me on socials, or feel free to jump over and add me on socials, I will drop the links to my Instagram and Facebook in the show notes for you as always. And please, as always, fam, if you know anyone who would benefit from listening to this episode, do not keep it to yourself. Let them know about it. Share them the link or just tell them to look for the Fit Life with MJ podcast on any of their favorite platforms. And that way we can reach more people. We can help more people because that's what we're here to do. And also, if you've got time, popping over to your platform that you're listening on and leaving a 5-star review would be amazing as well, because that helps us get to the top of the ranks in the podcast listings. So when people are searching for podcasts like this, we come up near the top, they can find us more, and therefore we can help more people as well. So that would be awesome. So then you are in turn contributing to helping other people reach their fitness goals by helping them find the podcast. So love that for us. That's why we're called the Fit Fam, right? All right, fam. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode, and I will talk to you in the next one. Bye for now.